Okay. Heavenly Places, page 51. February 14th is the date. And again, I'll mention the Valentine's Day thing because we don't do Valentine's. There's a page on the website. It's in the news section and the new format for the newsletter. And then just scroll down to, F3 the page when you're there. You know, just hit the F3 button on your keyboard and type in Valentine. And it'll bring you to a short newsletter I did years ago exposing Valentine's Day and what it's really about. So, amen, paganism. So, anyway, the title for this particular reading in this daily devotional, which is titled In Heavenly Places, this subheading is Robed in Christ's Righteousness. That's what it is. And it starts off with Romans chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. That says, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And then she goes on, and that, boy, I tell you, that right there is like, especially for the babe in Christ, when they realize what Christ has done for them. But still, even if you're 30 years into, walking with the Lord as I am, it really still blesses your heart when you see that, because as long as you're obedient, and you're going to mess up, we're all going to continue to mess up until that eastern sky splits, because Satan's going to keep whispering in your ear until, as long as you're still planted firmly on planet Earth, or you're not, taking a dirt nap, if you will, because then he can't talk to you. But when we start to ascend into heaven, that's when his voice is cut off forever, for all eternity. So until that day, we're going to have to deal with these little stupid suggestions that he makes, and we're going to be tempted. Now, temptation's not sin. It's when you bow to it. That's the sin. But then still, there's other areas in our life that he has moved us to do as habits, if you will, and the Holy Spirit will eventually lead us to the truth regarding even those areas. Because when you're a babe in Christ and you find Jesus day one, all those whopper things that you did, they're off the chart now from that day forward. If you're an obedient child of God, they're gone, and you understand. Now, it's the piddly sins that come after that, but still, you can't really consider them piddly. I don't preach Roman Catholicity, or theology or Catholicity, however you want to call it, because it's Catholicism, actually. But because they come up with venial and mortal sins. But the fact of the matter is, when you want to get a closer relationship with Christ, he's going to eventually reveal to you day by day that some of the things you're doing, you got to knock it off. And you do. You eventually do. You just get better and better and better. So, but there is a movement out there, and this is the only reason I mention this. There is a movement out there with a bunch of people declaring that they're sinless. And that's just a lie. It's not true. And amen, what Leonore said there. Who's going to be able to stand when that eastern sky splits, especially during that time of that scary silence? everybody's going to wonder, even the Gideon band's going to be a little concerned at that point. But the love that we have for him and the love that he has for us, it's going to be made apparent rather quickly that, no, don't worry about it. You guys are headed home. Everything's okay. It's those people that are bowing at your feet in worship that are going to have a problem, or have a problem. So anyway, she goes on to say, Well may our hearts turn to our Redeemer with the most perfect trust when we think of what he has done for us, even when we were sinners. And yeah, that's the point I wanted to make. Is the 1 John 1:9 truth. Even though you commit sins, as long as you confess them and try your best to not repeat them, honestly, let him know. Because he knows your heart. He knows if you're trying or not. It's just like with people that I know that say, oh, I'm definitely going to quit smoking. I'm trying my best. Or I'm going to quit drinking. I'm trying my best. And then the Lord knows deep inside, no, you're not. You're not giving it a second thought. You're still lighting up. You're still hitting the bottle. You really don't really, really try. You're not really trying. And that's what I love about my relationship with and your relationship, because I get the emails and the phone calls. Some of you are very, very concerned about your walks in those areas, and you really want to stop certain sinful habits, if you will. But you also know 1 John 1:9 has been written. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you confess it and forget about it. It literally says in the scriptures that he puts it in the sea of forgetfulness. In other words, you bring it up again, it's not like God's stupid. He's going, oh, what are you talking about? It's not. No, he knows that you have committed the sin. It's just that it's off the plate now. It's off the table. And that, but still, I know this, but still, I'll apologize sometimes because I feel so bad. It's just like if you did something to your mom or your dad or your brother, your sister, your friends, your whatever, coworkers. Sometimes you might apologize two or three times. You know, I'm really, really sorry that I, you know, like, oh, forget about it. It's bridge, you know, it's water under the bridge kind of thing. But you still beat yourself up a little bit about it. And because you love the person so much, you want to let them know you really, really are sorry. You know, it's a genuine apology, you know, and this is the way it is with Christians when they come to the Father. I believe a lot of them, especially the babes in Christ, where they keep repeating or repenting of the same sin over and over again. They don't get it. He got it the first time. Now all you're doing is more or less just repeating it. It's really a waste of time. Now, apologizing, you know, okay, there's no scripture to, you know, say you have to. It's just something that you might be moved to do because you feel bad about it. But you really don't have to do that because it really is off the table. 1 John 1:9 confirms it. You are no longer you are even cleansed from all unrighteousness as if you never even committed the sin. And so that's what I love about my relationship and our relationship with the Father is that we know we're going to continue to mess up, but as long as we bow to His truth and bow to His word and do what He says to do when we do mess up, it doesn't matter if all of a sudden, in a split second, we get hit by a drunk driver or something like that. We're going to make it home. Even if, and some people, what about like if you had committed, you had a bad thought right before you got hit? And again, my own opinion here, your Father knows your heart, right? Well, yeah. Okay, so since your Father knows your heart and He knows every time you mess up and every time you realize you mess up, what do? Well, yeah, I get on my knees, you know, and I ask Him to forgive me and all that. I say, well, yeah. So He knows for a fact if you had the time, like if all of a sudden you had a bad thought and you get hit in an accident and you die, He knows had you not died, 5 minutes later you'd been on your knees asking Him to forgive you. He knows your heart. So, anyway, at least that's the way I think. Okay, again. So, she goes on to say that through faith we may rest in love. Literally, rest. Be at peace. You know, that peace I give you, you know, that Jesus says, you know, it's not, He doesn't give peace the way mankind does. You know, His peace is real. It's genuine. And a babe in Christ will always confirm it. You know, I remember the first day I met Christ. And it was just like, wow. It literally felt like a weight lifted off of me. Because it was like, all that stuff's gone? Really? I've been trying for years to get that out of here. And it's just, you get rid of it that quick. But anyway. Through faith we may rest in His love, and then she quotes John 6:37, which says, Him that cometh to me, He says, I will in no wise cast out. She says, it would be a terrible thing to stand before God clothed in sinful garments with His eye reading every secret of our lives, but through the efficacy of Christ's sacrifice we may stand before God pure and spotless, our sins atoned for and pardoned. If we confess our sins, well, look at that. I should have just read on. 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The redeemed sinner, clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness, may stand in the presence of a sin-hating God, made perfect by the merits of the Savior. And we all know what happened with Joshua. The Lord took off the filthy garments and put the good ones on. You know, and so He's going to do it. He's promised to do it. He died for you so He can do it. I mean, it's a no-brainer for those of us that understand and, you know, trust the Word. She says, only through faith in Christ's name can the sinner be saved. Faith in Christ is not the work of nature, but the work of God on human minds, wrought in the very soul by the Holy Spirit who reveals Christ as Christ revealed the Father. And in other words, a gift. Salvation is a gift. Just as much as I believe the truth is the gift as well. The truth that He gives us. That, you know, that truth I always talk about that you can't really preach. You can't explain that deep down. I'm using it like a noun, if you will. I'm saying like truth is an actual thing. It's truth. I mean, I really can't explain this. In other words, I would think the majority of you in here know exactly what I'm talking about here. When you try to explain to somebody, how is it you know for a fact, even though you can't get the Bible verse to come up in your mind at the time, how do you know for a fact that what somebody just said in a theological manner is wrong? How do you just know that? Or somebody's doing something that you know is wrong? You don't have to point fingers, of course, because that's not our job. We're just seed planters, okay? We're not that, you're not supposed to point fingers. Unless, of course, you're rebuking the evil so as to help others. But that's, there's a whole method of, there's a whole procedure in regards to that. Ephesians chapter 5 goes into it. But the work of God is just, you know, that truth. I just, like I said, I can't explain it, but it's just there. And I'm really trying to find the words here, but this just it's just impossible. But let me just backtrack a little bit here. She says, faith in Christ is not the work of nature, but the work of God on human minds, wrought in the very soul by the Holy Spirit, who reveals Christ as Christ revealed the Father. Now, maybe something else will come to me in a minute here, but she goes on to say, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Of course, she's scripture quoting scripture here. The evidence of things not seen, with its justifying, sanctifying power, it is above what men call science. It is the science of eternal realities. Human science is often deceptive and misleading, but this heavenly science never misleads. It is so simple that a child may understand it, and yet the most learned men cannot explain it. It is inexplainable and immeasurable beyond all human expression. And that's what I love about so-called doctors of divinity with the alphabet soup after their names. And they're claiming that you have to bow to what I proclaim as absolute truth because I have proclaimed it. You're not going to find this easily in the Word of God because you have not the wherewithal between your ears to understand the truth as I do. You know, and that's how Roman Catholicism is based. And this is why they put the Bible in Latin. I mean, that's just so obvious. If you got eyes to see, you could see, okay, why would you put it in Latin, a dead language? And why is the Catholic Mass now, again, in Latin in most parts of the world now? Because Ratzinger, well, okay, Benedict XVI, put it up there like that. He says, okay, we got to go back to Latin. And why do they burn all the Bibles? And why do they put the Bible on the index of forbidden books? And if you were caught with a Bible in your hand during the, you know, after the Council of Valencia in 1229 A.D., after they made that statement that you had a Bible in your hand, you can be killed if you didn't turn it in to be burned. Why? Because the Bible exposed them. The Bible was truth, and they couldn't keep it. They couldn't allow for it to stay there. So, anyway. But here's the thing. They claim it's Latin because they are Romans, but no one's born a Roman anymore. The Romans have died out. That language is considered a dead language now. No one is born with Latin as their native tongue. Not a single person out of the 7 billion plus people on the planet, no one is born speaking Latin anymore. But yet they do that so as to keep the truth hidden to the best of their abilities. And then, of course, they rewrite the Bibles. If you go in the Old and New Testament, you'll find a theme, if you will. It's a prophetic theme that goes from Genesis through to Revelation. And you could literally see I don't know if you can actually find the words called defiled bread. I'm pretty sure it's in there. Let me just look real quick. But there is let me go to bread. My keyboard is hanging on something here. It's bouncing around. Oh, the wire. Yeah, the word defiled bread comes up twice in the scriptures. And it has to do with in today's language, it's the NIV, the NASB, the Douay Rheims. It's the way. It's all those Bibles out there that have thousands and thousands of verses missing. That's the defiled bread, or the trampled underfoot type of thing, so as to keep the people away from the truth. But anyway, she finishes by saying, what inexpressible love has the Savior manifested toward the children of men? Not only does he take off the brand of sin, but he cleanses and purifies the soul, clothing it in the robe of his own righteousness, which is without spot, woven in the loom of heaven. He not only lifts the curse from the sinner, but brings him into oneness with himself, reflecting upon him the bright beams of his righteousness. He is welcomed by the heavenly universe, accepted in the beloved Son of God. What glory can fallen man, through repentance and faith, bring back to God? Amen and amen. And again, like I was saying a minute ago, this is why I look at this as like the truth. It's a gift. It's not something you can really attain to unless you have the Holy Spirit. And the only way you're going to get the Holy Spirit is by salvation, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that, too, is a gift. And because I see salvation and truth as being both a gift, this is one of the reasons I called I believe the Lord moved me to call my ministry Presence of God. And I don't spell it P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. I spell P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, like a present that someone gives you. Because the truth really is a gift, the way it could be handed, little bits and pieces here and there, all over the place. And it's just amazing. And that's why, since back when I first drew that first drawing of that hand holding that silver platter with that open gift box on it, saying, because I didn't even come up with the name of the ministry yet. I just said, I'm just going to say here. You know, I put that little logo like that I drew of a hand. It's on my old tracks that are made out of like this white, this weird parchment paper. And I put this drawing on the bottom with a hand holding. It was my hand, actually. I drew my hand. And then I cartooned it a little bit. And then I put the silver platter on top of the fingers. And I put a gift box with it open on top. And it was just, every one of these tracks were just a little present I was giving to people. Present filled with truth. And before you know it, I just started the Presence of God. And I just did it that way. Yeah, those commas were added later. Those commas weren't. The commas and the punctuation that's in the King James Bible is not inspired. That was added way later, hundreds of years after the King James was penned. So, anyway, that's it. So I hope you were blessed. Be back in a minute.